folks, this is All Things Product with Petra Wille
and Teresa Torres.
And we're so happy you're here. Teresa, this is me asking again. There is a trend that I'm seeing, and I just wanted to hear your ideas about it. So if a company is working, or if a product organization is working for internal stakeholders, so they're creating tools that colleagues of theirs will be using down the line, I see them rather doing meetings, business meetings, where they collect requirements, than doing proper discovery initiatives, say something like interviewing. So it's really kind of, they don't have a concept for this is my user and these are stakeholders, this is the investor to our project initiative. Is that something that you see as well?
Yeah, let's get really specific here. Let's suppose that I'm making software for you. So I'm gonna make social media scheduling software for you. And because I know you, we both do a lot on social media.
We colleagues, basically.
Right? And we're colleagues, basically. So I'm going to make software for you. Now, what I see most happen most often, and I know you see this too, is that like, I'm just going to hop on a call like we are now. And
the casual
ask you,
conversation.
Petra, what do you need in your social media scheduling software? And we're going to have a meeting and you're going to give me all your requirements and I'm going to write them down and then I'm going to go build all that. And it
That's
doesn't
what
work.
I see happening.
Yeah, but it doesn't work. It's the same reason why we can't just take customer requests. Like, Petra, you're going to have an opinion about what I should build for you. The problem is you're a human and you didn't take the time to think through, because it's not your job, by the way, to think through.
I just have these pain points and it just...
Yeah, like what do I actually do and how does software support that? Right? Like, you're not doing that work. That's the product team's job. And so I can't just say, Petra, what can I build for you? I need to say, Petra, show me how you schedule your social media. Walk me through your social media strategy. How do you schedule it? Do you schedule it a week in advance, a month in advance, a day in advance? Do you not schedule it at all? Let's walk through it. Show it to me. And then
schedule all of it once the blog post is out. Then I think about what would be great social media posts for that blog post. And then I schedule the next 5 social media posts for that blog post. At some point, it will be from the archives. But yeah, that's what I'm doing right in the moment that I'm actually posting my blog post.
All right. Excellent.
So just I could, you know.
Yeah. So I could walk through all of that with you, collect all the details. How are you choosing what to pull from the blog post, et cetera. And that what that does is it gives me a much better idea of like, can I automate some of that? Maybe you don't know that some of it can be automated and you're not going to know to suggest that to me, right? But when I hear your story, by the way, if I conduct a story-based interview and I hear your story about what you actually did, now I can start to look at, oh, I can get rid of this step altogether because I can automate it for you. Or, hey, would it work if we had you do this instead? Why don't we have you try that before I build it into software? And I can start running some assumption tests. And I think that like, it's easy to fall into the trap of me thinking, well, Petra's really smart. She's familiar with software. She knows how she schedules social media. Why can't I just ask Petra what to she needs me to build?
Yeah, and I totally agree.
We all know how hard it is to think through how software should work.
Yeah, one thing that I usually encourage my coaches to do is really to, I call it stakeholder map, but it's more than a stakeholder map. So I really encourage them to think about who are the people that will end up using what you're actually building? And who are the people who want to stay in the loop, be informed, because maybe they have to plan change management initiatives for the rollout or something like that. So they're interested in your progress, but they will never ever be using the thing that you're currently creating. But they have an interest in how the things are going, right? And then there is investors or sponsors or somebody like that. So that's the people that really allowed you to invest the time and to kind of find a team and to decide what to work on. And you have to have conversations with them, how to spend your time wisely, how to spend your budget wisely, and what the company expects in return. And these are 3 different groups that I want kind of product teams that work on an internal product to reflect on before they actually plan a discovery initiatives. Should they talk to all of them? Yes. Do they need to do a story-based interview with all of them? Maybe that's not so helpful with your investor type of persona. Do you need to keep them in the loop? Yeah. You want to update them every once in a while? Yes. But that's usually something that I find helpful to do with teams that do internal product development.
Yeah, I think the reason why internal teams tend to skip all this stuff is they think it's going to be faster to just say, hey, Petra, what do you need in a social media scheduling software? I'm going to get that done in like 1 hour. Okay, well, now let's imagine there's 8 Petras. That's not a 1 hour meeting. The 8 Petras are going to disagree and we're going to have a battle and we're going to send emails and there's going to be documents.
Especially if you don't have the roles clear, right?
And after all of that, you're still going to get it wrong because it wasn't based on what anybody actually does. It was based on what they think they do. And we know there's a huge gap between what people actually do and what they think they do. And so it actually saves time. If I go individually interview each of those Petras, in 4 hours, I can conduct 8 30-minute interviews. I can spend another hour or two drawing, identifying opportunities, synthesizing it, looking for where's my opportunities. And I'm going to come up with a way better solution.
Plus you usually on top of that would have all the meetings with your stakeholders and the investor sponsor type of persona as well. But that's not necessary, right? You could, that's more of a show and tell thing then. After you conducted all your discovery initiatives, you can inform them on the progress, or if they really want to be involved, you can run a casual workshop with them to walk them through your opportunity solution tree or story map or whatever you created. But if you have the roles clear, it is way easier to decide where to spend your time and in which way to spend your time with your colleagues. And they're all colleagues. That's the challenge.
I think also, like, coming out of those interviews, more often than not, I think we see process improvements, right? We see, oh, 8 people are doing this in slightly different ways. Yeah. And what we didn't realize is Sally over here came up with a really innovative way to skip 3 steps. But Petra doesn't know about it because Sally hasn't shared it with anybody else.
Yeah. Right? That's something that I see a lot happening. So it is rather unclear who owns the process and who does process optimization in product organizations that are responsible for internal tools. Because is the stakeholder, the highest paid person in the room usually, the one owning the process? And are they expecting the product team to innovate on behalf of the user to simplify the processes? Is that something that the company is currently interested in? Basically, every company always says they're interested in process optimization, but it comes with a bit of change, comes with a bit of pain, it comes with a bit of friction. So is it actually really something that the product team should be solving right now? Are they allowed to optimize the processes and then suggest the users how to work in better and different ways? I really like that you brought up the process optimization thing, because that is, in this environment, really a big question.
I have a member in my community right now who's going through this. His product team was asked to deliver a feature for the US market that solved a pain point for internal colleagues. They released it. It worked fabulously well. So much so that the CEO is now saying, let's push this feature to the UK. So they pushed it to the UK. And the internal colleagues in the UK don't want to use it, and they don't want it in the product. They want it turned off. And it's because they have a different process. And this new feature breaks the process.
Yeah.
So now this product team has a CEO saying, release it to the UK. And they have internal colleagues in the UK saying, no, turn it off. And the problem is a process difference between the US and the UK. And who's deciding? Does the UK have to change their process? The product manager doesn't have the authority to say that, right? So it's a little bit, it's such a sticky problem that comes up with internal software that we often forget, like who's empowered to make those decisions.
And there is no magic wand that we can hand people to make this go away, right? But it's more the encouragement to, if you see that being a thing, then raise your concern, be vocal about it. This is actually the advice that I would actually give here, is to say, like, okay, and maybe just raising the question of, are we allowed to suggest process optimization? Yeah. Because already suggesting process optimization can be a bit of a faux pas. So that's maybe something that you want to ask before you work on an internal product, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah. I, you know, I'm going to make a suggestion for anybody who's on an internal on a team building software for internal products. I think if they're doing product discovery and they think, but my situation is different because, I want them to stop, full stop right there, and just say, how can I take this practice and make it work for my internal customers? Because I've worked with a lot of internal teams, and the changes we've had to make are so minimal. In fact, you have huge advantages.
On your discovery process.
On the discovery, on any of the discovery habits.
That's what you're talking about. Not the processes in general.
No, not the processes.
But the product the discovery practice.
And I would say people that work with internal customers have a huge advantage. Their customers are colleagues. You have so much access to them.
Yeah.
They want to help. They're available.
They oftentimes just around the corner.
Yeah, this is not always the case when your customers are external. So, like, I think my key message here, it's not different. You should be interviewing. You should be assumption testing. And the beauty is it's your internal colleagues. So you have access to them literally every day. And I would look at how do you work so closely with them that you know exactly what they need to do and not what they think they do.
Exactly. And I would add to it, before you do so, be aware of that everybody, every colleague of you has opinions about a thing that you're doing. But I think it makes sense to first reflect on who is my target audience, target user that I want to do all the discovery initiatives with. And who are just people that have opinions, are maybe paid for having opinions, are in the leadership team, are sponsoring the initiative, want a regular update. These are maybe not the people that you have to interview and include in your discovery initiatives. I really think that helps to, first of all, get your stakeholder map clear.
This is where I think outcome thinking can be really helpful too. I've worked with a lot of senior leaders that want to get involved of no, I need all my sales reps doing it exactly this way. And they want to influence the process. Whereas I think if you can say, okay, if they all did it that way, what would you get from that? Oh, you'd have really clear reporting. Okay, if I can generate a report that looks exactly like this, but your reps don't do it that way, are you happy? Oh, you are? Okay, good. So the outcome you want is a report that meets these needs. Let me go work with the sales reps.
We can do that.
Right?
Yeah. And I like that example.
I think it really helps because a lot of humans, and especially busy leaders, we intuitively infer a lot of steps. So that leader says, I need a report like this, therefore I need my reps to enter this, this, and this on exactly these days in exactly this way. And they communicate, enter this, this, and this on in this way on these days. They don't communicate, I need a report that looks like this. And what they miss is the opportunity to get a report that looks like this with less work, with more automation.
And with the liberty of everybody working the way that they're actually super effective right now.
Exactly. And so I think as a product team, our job can be to help that leader slow down and pull out those inferences and be like, hold on, what do you really care about? Is it this or is it this?
Yeah, amazing. That's famous last words, I'd say, on that topic, Teresa.
All right. I think we can wrap up.
I liked it.
Thanks, Petra.
Cool. Thanks, Teresa.